Well, again, also, one thing that I would like to highlight, actually, two things. One is the quilting group you'll see, and there is a page in it that has ministries listed. One is open if you're interested in that. That's a great thing that's happening on Wednesdays. And then underneath it, there's something we would ask you to check out. It's called International Friends, Inc. It's a ministry on campus that reaches out to international students. The Ministry Council has been looking at this, talking with the director for a number of months now. And we're getting the sense that this could be something that the congregation might fit with very well. And maybe you as individuals or even the congregation. So there's a website you can check it out and get more information. But it's some of the things that people in the congregation have already done in the past. And it's a very interesting and fascinating way to reach out to international students and international families, and not just all young people on the campus. So I wanted to highlight that for you. And also, I do want to make mention that the construction is carrying on. Dan said they're going to be working on the roof, putting down what's called the decking. For me, it's just boards on top that put roof material on top. But it's the next step. So you can look at it, and it's progress, it's fascinating. And also, I do want to mention to you that it doesn't apply to you guys too much, but I'll mention it 2 weeks from now on Saturday. I have a wedding coming up with Trevor Elliott and Anna Whitty, and that will be out at Fairmount on June 18th. We'll mention Chapel in our prayers. He is suffering from COVID, which he picked up from a wedding that he went to. So we just want to lift him up. He's doing a little bit better, so that's good. And then lastly, on your bulletins, you'll see the sermon is listed as 903. That's my mistake. It's actually 906. It is correct on the slide, so don't you're okay. You can follow the slides, but I didn't want you to turn to 903 because you hold on to the correct. We celebrate Pentecost today. It's the birth of the church. Share more about that in the message, but God's richest blessings that we gather together in our worship. And we're precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Welcome you that are joining us online as we begin our worship.
Oh, Let's begin our worship in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
If
you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But the Lord, you, there is forgiveness, therefore you are forgiven.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking and imploring his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty
God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Gracious God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding of all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated while Dave shares our scripture readings.
In The Old Testament reading is from Genesis, the 11th chapter. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them over there, over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is from Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this was what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens and above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Holy Spirit, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much to you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Let's go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Together, let us confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of life, Good morning, everyone, again. Great to be able to share with you today. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence among us, the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, the birth of the church, we give you thanks and praise and ask that you would just fill us, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this message I have for you today, you can see in your bulletins, I have an outline for you. And I have 3 points, living in the Spirit. And I'm very glad that for the past number of weeks, since Easter, they're the Sundays of Easter, the texts have been concentrating on the Holy Spirit. And so I want to focus on that and talk a little bit more, develop that a little bit more. And I just would like to share 3 points with you. One might not be familiar with you, and that's good, but it anchors us to the Scripture. And that's the fact that Christianity really revolves around 3 feasts, one that we're celebrating today, Pentecost. And then also, it's Jesus in his just amazing example to us. He is God, he is human, he is also a shining example of what it looks like to be a perfectly Spirit-filled human being. And then some points of application. But in your outline, I put a quote from Exodus, and it just mentions the 3 feasts there. So what's the purpose for that? What's the reason for that? Let me just connect some dots for you. They were told to celebrate 3 feasts. And the first one was Passover, and then 49 days, 7 weeks plus a day, 50 days later, they were to celebrate Pentecost. And then there wasn't a set time, there was an indeterminate time, but when the harvest was finally finished, whenever that was, and we know that varies, then they would have the last feast, and that was called the Feast of Trumpets. So Passover, we're familiar with. Think about that from Good Friday, right? That was Passover, and Christ was sacrificed. Paul makes it very, very clear for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. He spells out for us, he says, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed." And of course, in John, there's a great example, John 1:29, John the Baptist sees him, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So now, check this. For how many years did they celebrate these 3 feasts? And God specifically said to Moses, and he said, "You tell the people to do this, you guys rejoice in this, have these feasts together." He said, "You count off from Passover," which is a movable feast because it was lunar months. "You count off 7 weeks and a day, and then you celebrate Pentecost." Well, Jesus told them to wait. Where did they wait? They waited in Jerusalem. He said, "You wait until power comes down from on high and endues you with this power, and then you go out and be my witnesses." 7 weeks plus 1 day, 50 days exactly, Pentecost happened and the Holy Spirit came down. Pentecost was an interesting festival, a harvest festival, but it was a celebration of the first fruits. So imagine this. I tried to get my mind around this. I don't know if that's exciting to you, and it's really exciting to me. As these first disciples who were Jewish people, they're sitting there and they're realizing, "Oh, wait a minute. This is in real time what our ancestors did. We're living. We're just symbolically doing these things. Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. Pentecost, it was a harvest festival. We're the harvest. We're the first ones to believe." The very first ones. God wrote this into the fabric of Scripture, into the fabric of time itself, so that people could see that he is faithful and keeps his promises. He needed to instill this joy, this faith, this overflowing understanding of who he is, of who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and they're all working together in this without a flaw. You know, the last one, guess which one the last one was? It started with the Feast of Trumpets. And it's at an indeterminate time. You don't know when it's going to happen. You know the harvest is going to come, and the final harvest will come. And let me read you, there's a wonderful verse from 1 Corinthians. I'm sure you've heard this verse. You probably heard it at celebrations of life, at gravesides. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in the moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown, when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will be transformed. And he says in Thessalonians 4:14, since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, so we also believe that when Jesus returns, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the believers who are in their graves will rise first. And then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Lord, has it all worked out, but you are living in the time between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets. And it's indeterminate, as you see, how many years have been going on. Been over 2,000 years. We've been waiting. The harvest, the final harvest, will come. The fruits are still coming in. You and I are in it. And you know what? Since it is an indeterminate time to speak, and we don't know when that trumpet is going to blow and the feast happens, Jesus said we're going to feast with him up in glory. That's what he's talking about. He's looking forward to it in real life. We need a perfect Savior. And he told us in the text, he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. We will come, Father and Son, and we will make our home with you. That is the beautiful, blessed, wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is the perfect example of what it looks like, for a human being to be 100% obedient and led by the Holy Spirit. That has never happened in the history of humankind. The heart of Adam drives us as human beings to do things that are unspeakable. We just look at the world and we see it. It's not good. And you know, what's really weird is we're odd people, because we not only do things that are not monumental, but we build monuments to ourselves. We have to make ourselves look good. We have to work at it. We have to make ourselves look to be something that we're really not. Jesus Christ is a real deal. He is it. He is the example of what it looks like to be completely, 100%, perfectly Spirit-filled. And he lived that example to us so that we could see it, we could reflect on it. We will never, ever be that example. We're not. Jesus is unique. He is absolutely unique in all of creation. But he has given that gift to us. He has poured that gift out on us. And we can only follow. And so I would like to finish up with just some points of application. Because in your baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit. You are Spirit-filled. God has given you this wonderful promise. He wants us to live in the Spirit. He wants us to be led by the Spirit in our lives. Let me give you an example as I wrap it up. I'm going to use the example of a diamond ring. Now, some of you ladies probably have a diamond ring. Maybe you received it when you were engaged, and then maybe you have it when you got married. But you think about that diamond ring. Think about, for the sake of an analogy, the Holy Spirit is that diamond. Perfect, flawless, absolutely Beautiful. And if we could think of the Father, we just confessed it in the Creed, creator of all things, right? He's the creator of heaven and earth. So he made that ring. It's beautiful. You didn't make it. The ladies just put it on. They wear it. They're endued with it, so to speak. And if you can picture this, for the sake of the analogy, Jesus Christ is the setting in which that diamond sits. It's perfect. The maker is perfect. The diamond is perfect. The setting is perfect. And never in any human being has that diamond shone so brightly. There has never been any ring or any setting in which we could see the fullness of all the beauty that it is. However, you can see in history when we look at Bible characters. Think about Noah. You see the diamond of the Holy Spirit shining in him when he believed God's promises. You think about Abraham, and you can see that shining in him as he believed what God said.